Ananta Koti Vaishnavani ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Premsagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Jamuna Mai ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gora Premanandi Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachari Nevisesha Sunyavani Pasti Chari Shatari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Dearly beloved, we're assembled here together in the sight of God. Although we can't see him, but he can see us. Alright, let's start off with the invocation on page 1 in the introduction. And of course, with the Srila Prabhupada's pranams to precede that. So the first two verses are to be found, hopefully, in our hearts.
Okay.
Prabhuji, what is your good name again?
Dinesh.
Okay, Dinesh. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Right, so do you know these first two ones? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya and Namaste Saraswati Devi? Okay, we sing these first, because these Prabhupada didn't include in Bhagavad Gita, but we should include them when we, and start with them actually. In fact, sometimes Prabhupada pulled up the devotees when they would sing kirtan, and he said, what about these two verses? You know, why you were not singing? because it's the proper thing that one has to show proper respect to the spiritual master. You know, or if they sang one, he'd say, what about the other one?
All right, okay.
So we have to learn.
Both like important. Right.
Both are important, yes. And also before we sing Hare Krishna, especially in a public gathering, there should be the chanting of Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Because this chanting also helps to relieve of us of any offences in our chanting of the holy names. Mm-hmm. So these things should be done. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastichari Shatarine Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Anyone know what happened to the spotlights either side of Srila Prabhupada?
The bulb is gone.
Both bulbs are gone?
Both bulbs gone, yeah.
Okay. Someone is replacing?
It's not been replaced as yet, you know, because he was trying to... I don't know what happened, because Mahamantra Prabhu was trying to get them, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened, now he's gone, you know.
Okay. All right, well, we will see. Okay, where are we up to in chapter 1? Text, is it 36?
I think we did 36 last time.
No, we didn't start it.
Yeah, I think
we talked about 30 to 35.
Yeah, we discussed generally some of the verses, but we didn't go deep into it. So I think this is where we begin.
36 today.
Yeah. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Mataji, would you like to take book? You can. Okay, while you're waiting for Krishna to finish his prasad, his boga, then we're on page
63.
Okay. Papam.
Papam.
Evashrayad.
Asman.
Asman. Papam evashrayad
asman. Papam evashrayad asman.
Hatvaitan.
Hatvaitan.
Atatayina.
Atatayina.
Hatvaitan atatayina.
Hatvaitan atatayina.
Tasman.
Tasman.
Narhar.
Narha.
Vayam.
Vayam.
Hantum.
Hantum.
Tasmannarhar vayam hantum.
Tasmannarhar vayam hantum.
Dhatarashtram.
Dhatarashtram.
Sabhandavan.
Sabhandavan.
Dhatarashtram sabhandavan.
Dhatarashtram sabhandavan.
Svajanam,
svajanam
hi katam,
katam
hatva,
hatva
svajanam hi katam hatva
svajanam hi katam hatva
shukina
shukina
shyama
shyama
madhava
madhava
sukina shyama madhava
sukina shyama madhava
Papameva shayadasman.
Papameva shayadasman.
Hadvaitanatatayina.
Hadvaitanatatayina.
Tasmannarha vayam hantum.
Tasmannarha vayam hantum.
Dhatarashtransa bandhavan.
Dhatarashtransa bandhavan.
Svajanam hi katam hatva
svajanam hi katam hatva
shukina shyama madhava
shukina shyama madhava
papameva shayadasman
papameva shayadasman
hadvaitana tatayina
hadvaitana tatayina
tasmannarhar vayam hantum
tasmannarhar vayam hantum
dhatarashtran sabandhavan
dhatarashtran sabandhavan
svajanam hi katam hatva
svajanam hi katam hatva
shukina shyama madhava
shukina shyama madhava
Papam eva ashrayad asman.
Papam eva ashrayad asman.
Hatva itena atitayana.
Hatva itana atitayana.
Tasmannarhavayam hantum.
Tasmannarharvayam hantum.
Dhatrastaran sabandhavan.
Dhatarastran sabandhavan.
Svajanam hi katam hatva.
Svajanam hi katam hatva.
Sukhina shyama madhava.
Sukhina shyama madhava.
Papam eva shayad asman.
Hatvaitan atatayina. Tasmannarha vayam hantum. Dhatarashtran sabandhavan.
Svajanam
hi katam hatva.
Sukhina shyama madhava.
Sukhinam shyama madhava.
Papam eva shayad asman.
Papam eva shayad asman.
Hatvaitana tatayina.
Hatvaitana tatayina.
Tasmannarha vayam hantum.
Tasmannarha vayam hantum.
Dhatarashtran sa Bandhavan,
Dhatarashtran sabandhavan,
Svajanam hi katam hatva,
Svajanam hi katam hatva,
Sukhina shyama madhava,
Sukhina shyama madhava,
Papam eva shta asavan,
Papam eva shayadasman,
Hatvetam atatayviya,
Hatvaitana tatayina,
Tasmannaha vayam
Tasmannarhar vayam hantum.
Dhatarashtran
sabandhavan.
Svajanam
hi katam hatva.
Sukhina shyama madhava.
Sukhina shyama madhava.
Papameva
shayadasman. Hadvaitana tatayina. Tasmannarhar vayam hantum. Dhatarashtran sabandhavan. Svajanam hi katam hatva. Sukhina shyama madhava.
Shri Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Hari Om.
Gauranga, Gauranga. Okay, very nice. Mukesh Prabhu, would you like to try? Okay. Next time. Okay, remember that, everyone. Next time.
Okay, very good.
Haribol. Mataji, would you like to try?
Yeah.
Okay. If you are able. I don't want to put you in difficulty, but if you can, it's very good. Page 63 is the one we're at.
Papameva shrayadasman. Hatvaitana tatayina. Tasmanarha vayam hantum. Tatarastran sabandhavan. Svajanam hi katam hatva. Sukhina shama madhava.
Excellent. That's very good. A clean round. Very good. Okay, let's do the word meaning. Papam.
Papam.
Vices.
Vices.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Ashayat.
Ashayat.
Must come upon.
Must come upon.
Asman.
Asman.
Us.
Hadva.
Hadva. By killing.
By killing.
Etan.
Etan.
All these.
All these.
Atatayina.
Atatayina.
Aggressors.
Aggressors.
Tasman.
Tasman.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Arha.
Arha.
Deserving.
Deserving.
Vayam.
Vayam.
We.
We.
Hantum.
Hantum.
To kill.
To kill.
Dhatarashtran.
Dhatarashtran.
The sons of Dhritarashtra.
The sons of Dhritarashtra.
Sabandhavan.
Sabandhavan.
Along with friends.
Along with friends.
Svajanam.
Svajanam.
Kinsmen.
Kinsman.
He
certainly.
Certainly.
Katam.
How?
Hadva.
By killing.
By killing.
Shukina.
Shukina.
Happy.
Happy.
Shama.
Shama.
Will we become?
Will we become?
Madhava.
Madhava.
O Krishna.
O Krishna.
Husband of the goddess of fortune.
Husband of the goddess of fortune.
Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? So, responsively please. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors.
Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors.
Therefore, it is not proper for us.
Therefore, it is not proper for us
to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna?
What should we gain, O Krishna?
Husband of the goddess of fortune.
Husband of the goddess of fortune.
And how could we be happy?
And how could we be happy?
By killing our own kinsmen.
By killing our own kinsmen.
So, for the purport, it's a long purport, but Rohit Prabhu, could you read the purport for us, please?
According to Vedic injunctions, there are six kinds of aggressors. One, poison giver. Two, one who sets fire to the house. Three, one who attacks with deadly weapons. Four, one who plunders riches. Five, one who occupies another's land. And six, one who kidnaps a wife. Such aggressors are at once to be killed, and no sins incurred by killing such aggressors. Such killing of aggressors is quite befitting any ordinary man, but Arjuna was not an ordinary person. He was saintly by character, and therefore he wanted to deal with them in saintliness. This kind of saintliness, however, is not for a Kshatriya. Thou, a responsible man in the administration of a state, is required to be saintly. He should not be cowardly. For example, Lord Rama was so saintly that people even now are anxious to live in the kingdom of Lord Rama, Rama Rajya. But Lord Rama never showed any cowardice. Ravana was an aggressor against Rama because Ravana kidnapped Rava's Rama's wife, Sita. But Lord Rama gave him sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world. In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider the special type of aggressors, namely his own grandfather, own teacher, friends, sons, grandson, etc. Because of them, Arjuna thought that he should not take the severe steps necessary against ordinary aggressors. Besides that, saintly persons are advised to forgive. Such injunctions for saintly persons are more important than any particular emergency. Arjuna considered that rather than kill his own kinsmen for political reasons, it should be better to forgive them on grounds of religion and saintly behavior. He did not therefore consider such killings profitable simply for the matter of temporary bodily happiness. After all, kingdoms and pleasures derived therefrom are not permanent. So why should he risk his life and eternal salvation by killing his own kinsmen? Arjuna's addressing of Krishna as Madhava, or the husband of the goddess of fortune, is also significant. In this connection, he wanted to point out to Krishna that as husband of the goddess of fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would immediately bring about misfortune, bring about misfortune. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees.
Okay, very interesting verses. Fascinating to see Arjuna's quandary. And Prabhupada, when he was lecturing on this verse in London in 1973, around the time of the opening of Bhaktivedanta Manor, in fact Prabhupada lectured on the whole first chapter practically, and part of the second chapter there. He stayed a long time at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Every day he was doing that. So Prabhupada actually stayed in London more than almost any other place on the planet, in fact, at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So it's very fortunate that this place, Bhaktivedanta Manor, is a great place of pilgrimage for this reason, that Srila Prabhupada personally went there and stayed there. And while he was there, he would every day have Shamsunda, who was his secretary at that time, he would bring important people in the world to come and meet with Srila Prabhupada and discuss with them. And Prabhupada would explain, and he would also discuss what is your philosophy, and he would explain the weaknesses and defects of their philosophy and explain to them the strengths of Krishna consciousness. No matter if they were big religionists, politicians, authors, racing car drivers, didn't matter who they were, Prabhupada would go to great pains to try to influence them, to explain to them how important is the science of Krishna. So even priests, Buddhists, all kinds of people came, and it was very interesting. So as well as the daily lectures that Prabhupada was giving on Bhagavad Gita, there are also many conversations recorded in the Conversations books, which are very illuminating to help us understand how to practically present Krishna consciousness to anyone and everyone. So this is very important that we can learn from Srila Prabhupada's example how to actually actively promote Krishna consciousness anywhere and everywhere. They're very helpful to understand. So while Prabhupada was lecturing on this verse, he explained many subtle points which might be mistaken if we're not very careful. Here we see that Arjuna is thinking, he's presenting as a friend, because at this stage he's still in friendly dealings with Krishna. He's still presenting the idea that, you know, how can this be a good idea, Krishna? You know, he's asking him, you know, is this really a good idea that we should become overcome by sin? That overcome by sin means that we'll be destroyed. You know, if you do something very sinful, then that sin will overcome you and you'll be degraded. Yes? If you become degraded, this is not the mission of human life, to become degraded. The mission of human life is to become elevated, actually. To become elevated to a higher status of life. And actually to go back home. So he's asking Krishna, why should we resist? Why should we risk being put down into hellish condition of life simply to fight this war? Because Arjuna is thinking that these six kinds of aggressors, you know, normally, and Krishna is pointing out that they're all aggressors, actually. These Kauravas, what are they doing? One is they gave poison, they gave Bhima a poison cake to try to kill him. So already that's an aggressive act, which according to Shastra, that if someone comes to give you poison, you can kill them. Or if someone sets fire to your house, you can kill them. And no sin is incurred by doing such a thing. Of course, in the human society, in this current day and age, if you do anything to kill anyone, actually usually the burglars and everyone else has the upper hand. But practically speaking, in the Vedic culture, these are facts. They set fire to the house of the Pandavas, you know, trying to burn them alive. One who attacks with deadly weapons, they tried so many ways to kill the Pandavas. Now they were coming to fight with them. One who plunders riches, they had all their wealth and their kingdom and everything taken away, even their wife, everything was taken away by cheating. They were plundered out of that. One who occupies another's land, their rightful land, the kingdom of the world, had been taken away from them. They were plundered of all their wealth by some cheating device in a gambling match. And one who kidnaps a wife. So by their cheating means, they actually stole Draupadi away from the So on six counts, they're aggressors. They deserve to be killed. You know, if you go to court, then the judge, he tots up all the pros and the cons. And here, Krishna's giving the full straight thing, that actually they're aggressors. Arjuna's saying, yes, they are aggressors. But there's a special case. Because Arjuna is saintly, because he's actually a devata. He's actually godly. He's a devotee. So someone who's a devotee means he's a godly person. And so he acts in a different way. So Prabhupada, he gave the example that when Hiranyakashipu was away, Indra and the demigods, they kidnapped Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. She was pregnant at the time. And they wanted to keep her under custody. Of course, normally, in a whenever there's a war, you know, what happens is that the women are harassed and badly treated. There's rape and there's pillage and everything goes on. Whenever there is a war, the victorious side, they harass the women like anything. That's still current, actually. It still happens even in this day and age. It's not really such a bizarre thing. We see it with the American army, we see it with the British army, we see it with all kinds of armies all over the world. It's not a modern phenomenon. But the demigods, Indra, they weren't directly harassing Kayadu, but they didn't want to hurt Kayadu, but they wanted to, Indra, he wanted to kill the son, the child that was in the womb. And then as they were taking Indra was taking Kayadu and she was protesting, you know, I'm just an innocent woman, I shouldn't be hurt. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So the women are, the five groups are meant to be protected. The cows, the Brahmins, the women, the children and the old men. They're all meant to be protected in human society. Nowadays the cows are slaughtered, the women are unprotected, they're left husbandless in so many cases. 40% of marriages in the UK and everywhere else ends in divorce. So the women are not protected. In fact, they're encouraged to become loose prostitutes, hunters of men, and being hunted by the men, actually. This is the culture that we live in. Is it not a fact? The whole culture, everything points to that. So the women are not protected, the children are not protected. There are so many laws passed, but still the children are not protected because the family unit is spoiled, so the children are not actually protected. And so the cows, the women, the children, the Brahmins, who cares for the Brahmins? Who cares for the priestly class? Where are the priestly class? Actually, rather, they've become very weak, and they will admit to anything and follow any standards just to maintain the position of priesthood, rather than actually say, this is not religious principle. No, let anything be religious principle. Women, the priests, even in their own church, in the Catholic Church, for example, the priests are not supposed to get married, but now they get married. Now it's okay. Now it's cool. Now it's politically correct. But you also see that now, not only that, but now even they're encouraging homosexuality, which is an unspeakable thing. Even in India, and in Prabhupada's time, he was shocked, deeply shocked, that they would even put forward such an idea. But even in Indian society, now this is becoming a commonplace affair. So, anyway, the priests are supposed to be followers of the Shastras, in actual fact. This is the situation. So the cows, the women, the children, the Brahmins, and the old men. Now what happens with the old people? Push them out into the old people's home. You know, left until they die. No clue for actually how to give them the chance for cultivating spiritual knowledge till the end of days. So where is the protection in such a human society? Arjuna could see that this would be a result of killing off the family tradition. So he was very concerned. So he was thinking like this. Anyway, the point I was making is that Indra, he took Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, and Narada Muni happened to be passing. He always comes at an amazing moment. And he asked Indra, "What are you doing? Why are you taking this lady?" And Indra replied, "My dear Narada Muni, she's the wife of Hiranyakashipu and she's pregnant, and so we're not going to harm her, but when the child is born, we will kill the child." Very brave, you know. So anyway, Narada Muni told them, he said, "My dear Indra, actually, the child in this womb is not a demon like you were thinking. Actually, he's a Mahabhagavat. He's a great devotee of the Lord. So don't think like that. So better you give this lady into my care. She can stay at the ashram until she gives birth, and then she can go back to her husband." So because Indra was a demigod, he accepted the word of Narada Muni immediately, and immediately he circumambulated Kayadu, knowing that the child inside the womb was actually a Mahabhagavata devotee. So this is the devotee mentality, that when we see someone is actually a devotee, then we offer all respectful obeisances like that. So this is the character of a devotee, is he recognizes the devotees and wants to serve the other devotees. This is an important point. So the thing is that Arjuna, he has got all good qualities. He's got all saintly qualities because he's actually a devotee of Krishna. So he's considering, just like you will consider, supposing your son or some family member comes to attack you or set fire to the house, still you'll think twice, well, you know, he's my family member. Should I kill him? I don't think that's a very good idea because he's my family member. Maybe I should forgive him. Because this is natural, actually. So Arjuna, he is thinking like that actually these are family members. And it is considered very sinful if you kill your family members. It is not a good thing to do. So therefore Arjuna is hesitating on these grounds because he's thinking that the result of our killing them will be very detrimental to our future spiritual progress. And so he's putting the idea to Krishna that, you know, please tell me, what should I do? Because is it not the fact that we'll become overcome by sin if we kill them? And he's actually not just saying me, he's saying sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors? Because Krishna is also on his side. Yeah, Krishna is driving his chariot. So he's thinking very carefully, how shall I drag Krishna into this? If I don't consider that I'm taking my charioteer and all my army and everyone and dragging everyone into the sinful condition, then people will criticize. And this will not be good. So we should also consider how we act as devotees, because if we act, then it is very easy, it is very common for sannyasis or devotees to be criticized, because people do that very easily in this society if there is some fault. Is it not? Yeah. If just like if an ordinary man becomes engaged in some criminal activity, that's pretty normal. But if a sannyasi or a devotee becomes engaged in these things, then everybody criticizes. Is it not a fact? So the duty is there to act very properly. And Arjuna is thinking very carefully about his duty, and he doesn't want to drag Krishna into this sinful situation. So he's presenting all these ideas. And he's thinking that although for an ordinary man, if these aggressors are there, they should be killed. And it's a fact, they should be killed. It's also a fact that actually Krishna wants them to be killed. But he's presenting like this, because Krishna went through so many motions to try to negotiate the peace. But ultimately, the Kauravas weren't having it. Krishna obviously knew what was going to happen, but he went through all the motions and arranged everything, tried everything, but in the end, he even acted as Yudhisthira's messenger to take messages backwards and forwards. You know, this is Krishna. He's very friendly to his devotees. He's ready to serve his devotees. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's acting on the platform of the friend of Yudhisthira, the friend of the Pandavas, the friend of Arjuna. So, taking everything into consideration, we see that Krishna actually, he wanted them to be killed. So therefore he's encouraging Arjuna that actually, in spite of everything, you have to fight, Arjuna. You're going to have to fight and kill them. And he's going to explain through the pages of Bhagavad Gita, you're going to have to do it because I want it to be done. And because it's your duty, and because it's your nature, and therefore you have to do it. There's no getting away from it. Although Arjuna at this point, he's considering, and here we can see an insight into Arjuna's saintly character, that even though they've been aggressors in so many ways, even though this situation came about on the in the whole affair, that, and this is really a problem, you just see how one small thing sparks off something big in this world. That although Karna had a big problem, because he was always upset that he was regarded as the son of a carpenter, because he happened to be brought up as by a carpenter. He was actually born as the first child of Kunti, but because she was not married, Karna, he had to be hidden away. So Kunti put him in a basket and sailed him down the river and offered prayers for his welfare. And one carpenter family found the baby and took charge of him. Is it not the case? And so he was known as the son of a carpenter. But when he was born, actually, he was the son of Vivashvan, the sun god. He was born very bright and effulgent with wonderful armor and, you know, really extraordinary baby. You know, you don't get babies born like that every day in Leicester Royal Infirmary. So he's a very extraordinary child in so many ways. And of course, you know the story about how he came to be born in that way, is it? You know? Because Kunti had served Devasa Muni very, very nicely. Because when Devasa Muni, this great Muni, came to the palace of the Pandavas, of Pandu, then her father, then what, actually no, it wasn't Pandu because she wasn't married at that time, but her father's palace, then Kunti was engaged and she served Devasimuni very nicely, and he gave her a benediction. He gave her a mantra by which she could call for any demigod. And of course she was a young girl at that time, so she didn't really know anything. But still she got this benediction. And so, you know, natural curiosity is there. One day she was looking at the sun and she chanted the mantra. And immediately the sun god appeared and said, okay, you called me. You're meditating on me, chanting this mantra, so now I have come. And she was shocked. What to do? what am I to do? And he said, don't worry. I want to have union with you, but don't worry, because afterwards you will remain a virgin girl. And so the child was of Karna. Karna was conceived. And very quickly she gave birth to the child. And of course the whole thing became a bit of a problem for her, because she was a young unmarried girl. And this was polite society, not only polite society, but very highly cultured society. So for her to have a child would bring great problems and disgrace on the family. So therefore she let the child go with great distress. But she was always thinking of her child. And she became very greatly distressed when it came to the fight between Karna and Duryodhana and her other sons, the Pandavas. So it became a big problem. But anyway, Karna, he became very upset at the time of Draupadi's Svayamvara. Because Draupadi, she was going to have the Svayamvara ceremony, where because the Kshatriya princesses, they could have a Svayamvara ceremony by which they could select their own husband, or some arrangement was made. And they had some say in the matter, but traditionally, in the Vedic culture, of course this is another story, and traditionally in the Vedic culture, you have a situation where the parents of the boy, they're very concerned, they want to have a good, suitable girl for their boy, and the parents of the girl, they want to have a good, suitable boy for their daughter. And they're concerned to make a nice arrangement that they can have a suitable match and they don't have to wander around trying to find a suitable partner in life and do so much hit and miss and just create a whole disturbance in the human society behaving like cats and dogs. That's why the arranged marriage is there, actually. So, anyway, in the Svayamvara ceremony, it was very clear, Arjuna, he came to shoot because the target was to shoot the fish which was suspended from the ceiling, and one had to pierce the arrow of the eye of the fish by looking in a bucket of water and see the reflection and shoot. Now Draupadi knew Arjuna, he's very good, he can do it, and she wanted to marry Arjuna, actually. She really wanted to marry Arjuna. And so she was very happy. But when Karna came forward, Draupadi knew that he was a better warrior, a better archer than Arjuna. And therefore she protested that actually I cannot marry someone, because I am a Kshatriya lady, I cannot marry someone who is the son of a carpenter. Because that person is a Shudra. He's not a Kshatriya, he's a Shudra. And so Karna, he felt incredibly insulted by all this. And he wanted so much to get his revenge. So Karna was prohibited from marrying Draupadi. And so Arjuna, he was the only other contender who was the best archer. And so he looked in the bowl of water and he pierced the eye of the fish with his arrow. And he was selected, and Draupadi was very happy because he was the one she wanted to marry. But Karna always had this real grudge against Draupadi and Arjuna because of this. And so when it came to the gambling match in the Kaurava court, because the Pandavas were Kshatriyas, and when you're challenged to, when there's a challenge, the Kshatriya, he cannot refuse the challenge. And even if in gambling, if there's a challenge, the Kshatriya is a duty bound to accept. So Yudhisthira, he betted everything and he kept losing all the wealth, all the kingdom. And then Draupadi was the one, their wife. who was put forward as the stake in the gambling, and they lost. And so it was Karna who proposed that, yes, now she is the Kaurava's property, so now let us strip her naked in the assembly of everyone. So this is the insult to Draupadi, that she has insulted me, now let her be insulted. So they tried to do like this. And of course Krishna, he protected her, but actually that insult was there. And of course Bhishma and Drona even, Bhishma the grandfather of the Pandavas and Drona their military teacher, because they'd been purchased by the Kaurava grains, they didn't protest at this very sinful behavior of insulting a chaste lady. And so the result was that they had to die. And so this battle of Kurukshetra ultimately was, for their part, the fruit of their activity. So this whole situation is there, that when a chaste lady is insulted or kidnapped, then the aggressor can be killed and there is no fault. And we see that Lord Ramachandra also, because we're coming up to Diwali, the return of the king, the return of Lord Ramachandra, this whole thing was brought about because of the kidnapping of Sita Devi. So of course she is no ordinary lady, because Sita Devi, Lakshmi, Radharani, they're not material personalities, they're transcendental personalities, they're the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still this pastime was there, and Ravan, as Prabhupada explains, that Lord Ram gave Ravan sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world. We see what happened to Ravan, that the army was taken across this bridge and Ravan's whole kingdom was completely desecrated and his army was destroyed, everything was finished, and his son, his brother Vibhishan was installed. But, you know, such a powerful message that you don't mess about like this. And that also the wife, and there's so many lessons we learn from Ramayana also, is that generally if you're going out traveling all over the place, then you don't take your wife because it's dangerous. Better she stays at home nicely protected. But even though she was protected in Panchavati, was it Panchavati where she was taken from? Or was it Dandakaranya? Anyway, in the forest, she was abducted, she was stolen, and therefore Ravan had to be killed. So these things go on, and we see so many important lessons from this. But even after all this, Arjun was thinking, well, he's our family member. It will be sinful if we kill them. So because Arjun is very pious, he's thinking and he's asking Krishna, is this the right thing to do? He's presenting this idea, you know, in a friendly way, that Krishna, is this the right thing to do? This seems like the really wrong thing to do. What do you think? So a pious person, he's prepared to act according to the principles of religion. He doesn't want to do something that will spoil his situation, that will degrade him. Whereas an impious person will do anything without any consideration, whether it's actually good or bad. So the devotee's position, because Arjuna is a great devotee, he's thinking very, very carefully. He's weighing up all the pros and cons. He's calculating, is this going to be a good thing to do? So we can learn a lot from Arjuna's indecision, which is one of his five reasons for not fighting. Does anyone remember what are the five reasons why Arjuna is thinking that he shouldn't fight? Who can remember some of the reasons why he doesn't want to fight?
Compassion.
Compassion for?
For other parties?
Yes.
For human beings?
Yes. For his friends, his relatives, the armies. Why should they all die on my account? This is very, you know, not good. So that's one reason, yes, compassion. Yes, he's afraid of the sinful reaction, because this will not be good. This is good if you think this is sinful, I'll get a reaction for this, therefore I shouldn't do it. This is intelligent. We should think carefully. So compassion, sinful reaction, what else?
Indecision.
Hmm?
Indecision.
Yeah, he's undecided, which is the best thing to do. He can't work it out. So he's asking Krishna, you know, which is the best thing to do. And what are the other two reasons?
Sorry, about future society.
The future society, yes, he's thinking that the whole society will become degraded, that this will really cause the destruction of the dynasty. And so what happens if the dynasty is destroyed?
Unwanted children.
You get unwanted children, and when you get unwanted children, what happens?
Destroy the peace of the world, you know.
It destroys the peace of the world. What happens is the religious practices stop, the family traditions stop, and there are no more offerings to the ancestors, and everything just goes to hell. So it's actually, because the son is called Putra. So what does Putra mean?
Son. Who delivers. Hmm? One who delivers the parents from hell.
Yeah. Yeah, Put is a very... Pu is very, very hellish condition. And tra means to deliver, just like we have mantra, to deliver the mind from a terrible condition. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like that. So putra. So actually the requirement in human society is that everyone should have good sons, at least one good son. Even if you have many sons, at least one of them hopefully will be good to perform auspicious activities to deliver the parents from and grandparents and previous ancestors from going to a hellish condition. So it's the duty of everyone to have good sons who will do like this. This is required. Otherwise, what's the condition of human society? So anyway, and there's another reason why Arjun wants to fight. We've covered four. What's the fifth reason why Arjun doesn't want to fight?
Enjoyment? They can't enjoy the kingdom.
Yeah, he's thinking, if I kill all my family, how will I enjoy the kingdom on my own without all my family? So that's the least of the noble reasons why he wants to fight. The other four are very dharmic, but he's thinking that if I'm on my own, you know, if you're a king, and where are all your friends and family? It's going to be really bleak. You know? So, like this, he's thinking. Okay. So, but Krishna is pointing out that although Arjuna was, Prabhupada points out here, although Arjuna was very saintly, this saintly behavior, and the kings and kshatriyas expected to be saintly, this kind of saintly behavior is unbecoming a kshatriya. Because a kshatriya, kshat means to protect, to hurt, actually, and triya means to deliver. We already discussed triyate means to protect, to deliver. So some hurting has to be there for the kshatriyas to protect the others who are actually pious. So for a kshatriya, he has to act. That's his duty. He has to act strongly. So therefore Krishna is saying, no, if you don't do this, then people will call you a coward. And what will that do for your family position? What will that do for me? Because I'm your friend. Krishna is the friend of a coward? No, this cannot be. No. He's the friend of Arjuna. Arjuna is a great, strong, noble warrior. Great, powerful, heroic hero, actually. And what will it do for the reputation of your family? All your ancestors, they'll turn in their graves if they think their descendant has become a coward. So, in so many ways... Krishna is telling Arjuna, he's going to tell Arjuna that you must fight. It's your duty to fight. You have to do it. You can't run away from the battlefield. So anyway, so many points are made here. And another point that's made, which Rohit was making when he read the purport, such injunctions for saintly persons about being advised to forgive are more important than any political emergency. So on the other hand, If someone's a saintly person, you can say, yes, you've attacked me. But what does Lord Jesus Christ say if someone attacks you? What do?
Offer the other cheek.
Yeah, you turn the other cheek. Okay, you hit this cheek. Okay, now hit this cheek. That's okay. I'm not going to take any action against you. These are more important for saintly persons, not to become angry when someone attacks you. And you see in the example of Narada Muni, that Narada Muni, when he was getting the sons of Daksha, he's a great Prajapati in the human society, and Arjuna got his sons to become devotees and brahmacharis. And so they couldn't have, you know, they weren't interested in having children, and Daksha was furious. And he was yelling and screaming and cursing Narada Muni. And Narada Muni just stayed there and patiently waited him to use up all his anger. Because when someone's very angry, can they hear what you're trying to say? Is it possible? If you're very angry and someone tries to tell you some good instruction, you can't hear what they say. So Narada Muni waited patiently for Daksha's anger to be spelt, and then he could explain to him why he'd done it. So he just stood there and tolerated while Daksha really verbally laid into him. And, you know. Anyway, so this is another very important thing. But for a saintly person, it's very important that they can forgive others, actually. And you see this actually sometimes just as a slight quirk in this whole situation. That sometimes you find, or we used to find this when we were on the streets distributing books, and some of the Christians would like to come up and bait the devotees and start really giving them trouble and grief. And if the devotees finally got really upset with them and angry, it was, just see, you got angry here. It's like a no-win situation. So generally the devotees would try to avoid such people because they had no... They wouldn't come to buy the books. All they'd come to do was just come and upset the devotees who were trying to distribute books, Bhagavad Gita's, to give people some understanding in life. So sometimes people do like this also. But somehow in spite of it, we have to try and remain calm. Although Prabhupada, we see that Prabhupada also became very angry with the devotees sometimes. And when Prabhupada got angry, you were really, watch out! Yeah, because if you upset those pure devotees, then that's very dangerous. But Prabhupada got angry when people were willfully disobeying. Because the idea is that one has to learn that the spiritual master, he can chastise the disciple. The teacher or the father, he has a right to chastise the disciple or the son. Otherwise, what will they learn? How will they improve? If you don't tell off your son, what's he going to grow up to be? Even Mother Yasoda, she was thinking, I have to teach Krishna. We're worshipping Damodar. I have to teach Krishna, take the stick to him. No, you can't do this. So this is required. This is there. Of course, when she saw that Krishna was getting too upset, then she thought, it's gone beyond the pale now. So he threw away the whipping stick, the stick you show to the child. You don't beat the child, but you show them the stick. Yeah. Okay. And so Krishna's running away, even faster than Mother Yasoda. But she was able to catch up with him anyway, because she has so much love for Krishna. That generally that happens with children. They run faster than their parents. They've got little feet, but they really leg it. So Krishna was running very fast. So anyway, this principle is that the chastisement has to be there, otherwise it is not good. And you know one story in that connection? I think it was in America, this story that happened. It's actually a true story, that this one young man, he was just becoming gradually through his life a complete tearaway. And eventually, it came to court, and he was brought to book for his crimes and harassment of society. And he said, okay, I just want to have a word with my mother. So they let him go and have a word with his mother. And he went up to his mother and put his face next to hers and he bit off her ear. And he said, that's because you never told me off when I was a child and protected me from becoming like this. There's an interesting story for you. So anyway, we should know. There's a saying, which Prabhupada also quoted, that spare the rod and spoil the child. But now, of course, we have a society, as practically all teachers will vouch for, is where it becomes almost a criminal act if you try to correct the child by any kind of, even a slap, yeah, to try to bring the child in. Well, anyway, you're teachers, so you know how it works. But, so, and therefore it's in an impossible situation, how you can train children like that. And the spiritual master, his duty is to chastise the disciple, so he learns. If he's always just very nice and sweet like that, what will you ever learn? Oh yeah, I can do everything. I can do my homework or not do my homework. It's okay, it's cool. You must do it. Why haven't you done it? Is it not? You have to do. Otherwise, what will the child will learn? If you don't chastise the son, what will he learn? So therefore, the principle that Chanakya Pandit gives us is that up until the age of 5, you treat the child like he's God. And then from 5 to 16, you beat him. You chastise him. You train him in this way. And after 16, you make him your friend. Like that. That is the simple principle by which it is recommended to help the child to grow up nicely. Very much nurtured. And then trained when they're ready to take the training from 5 years old. So from 5 years old, the tradition in human society is that the children would go as Krishna and Balaram did. They were put under the care of Sandipani Muni in the Gurukul to learn all the important things of life. And so this is the principle. So put under the guidance of a guru to learn the important things in life. This is required. Anyway, so many points of culture we learn from this. And this Bhagavad Gita is giving us some idea about actually the culture of human society. So, are there any questions or comments?
Do you know with the story of Draupadi when she was put on stakes?
Mm-hmm.
Even with that, you know, Drona and Bhishma, how come they just sat there watching all of this?
Anyone would like to explain?
They can't be so great if they sat there watching that.
They were very great. Would you like to answer?
Sorry, what did you say? Why didn't they?
Why didn't they do anything?
Why did they just not say anything?
Yeah.
Because they were purchased by Duryodhana, you know. So saying anything against the attack means that they are insulting Duryodhana as well. You know, Duryodhana was feeding them, you know. They were staying with Duryodhana, you know, and Duryodhana was feeding them virtually, you know. They are living on, subsiding on Duryodhana's wealth, you know.
Okay.
Were they bound to any benedictions?
Yeah?
Were they bound to any benedictions?
No?
No, no benediction, no, no. Only financial gain, you know, that was the problem. You know?
Just like now, you see what is the situation. What can the teachers teach in the schools and colleges? You have to teach what's on the curriculum, what the government said. But the Brahmins are not supposed to be bound by the Kshatriyas. The Brahmins, on the other hand, completely the opposite. In Vedic culture, the Brahmins are supposed to give good advice to the Kshatriyas how to act. Yes? That is their role. And to be protected by the Kshatriyas. Even you see Chanakya Pandit, great Brahmin pandit in the court of King Chandragupta. And when King Chandragupta challenged his decision, he said, you shouldn't have done like this. And then Chanakya Pandit said, alright, then I'm leaving your court. Yeah. That was the position. The Brahmin is independent. But now, of course, the Brahmins, teachers, in human society, because this is a Brahmin's role, is to teach the rest of human society, whatever a topic it may be, but their job is teaching in human society. Now, they're being paid. They're in the pocket of the ruling class. And so they have to do what they're told. They have to teach what they're told to teach. And if they're told you can't teach this, then you can't teach that. That's a simple law. And because Duryodhana had got Bhishma Dev and Drona in his pocket, because they'd accepted his grains being maintained by him, then they felt, oh, I can't say anything because I'm obliged to Duryodhana. Therefore the Brahmin has to be always independent. But they couldn't be, because they were purchased by the Kaurava grains. Is that okay? So it's this in Vedic culture, there is so much obligation. You know, in Indian families, there's so much obligation. You're obliged for this and that and the other and so many things. And practically speaking, you can't move. But still, you have to find a way to do what you have to do. And the difficulty is that although there are obligations, still, you see that Arjuna, he had so many obligations to act, but still he had a very keen sense of duty as to what was to be done and what was not to be done. And not that the obligation would disturb his sense of duty. He's thinking very carefully that I have to act according to sense of duty. Yes, I'm obliged to fight because we're here on the battlefield, but still it's not going to be the right thing to do. So perhaps I should avoid this. So very thoughtful. Any other questions or comments? Mukesh Prabhu.
Yeah, with the Vajra Dharma, can or is ISKCON or the practice of ISKCON, can it develop this? Because obviously you're talking about all these cultural activities and all that within the Kshatriya ruling society, and then you've got the Brahmins and so forth. Could we see something in the appropriate section, so to speak? Or
well, I was just reading today a very interesting point that Mukunda Maharaj was making, that he encouraged questions and answers. Prabhupada encouraged there should be good questions and answers, some discussion. And this question came up. Prabhupada asked the devotees when he went to Edinburgh one time in 72. He said, so what can be done to better the political situation of the world? And two devotees, Rubhatanandan and Prajumna, they answered Prabhupada and they gave some statements. But one can see, is if you read through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see how Prabhupada very clearly points out what can and must be done to improve the whole political situation in society. And the very first thing is to stop cow killing. If the slaughtering of cows is stopped, then the whole atmosphere can change. And if recognition that the Brahmins, the cows, the women, the children and the old men are meant to be protected in society, it can change. You stop the sinful activities, you close down the brothels, the slaughterhouses, the liquor houses, the gambling clubs, the casinos, then the whole situation can change. So if our preaching becomes effective, then we can actually make differences in the human society. So it's up to how seriously and how effectively we become able to preach and convince others and ultimately the leaders of society that these changes are wanted. Therefore, Prabhupada is giving us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Upanishad, Nectar of Devotion for us to understand the the science very carefully. And he gave us all these conversations which he had with all these important people to help us understand what we have to do, what we have to learn, what we have to understand so that we can explain and convince others to do these things. Now it's one thing sitting here with a group of devotees who are pretty willing to accept these principles in life, but how to convince those who are not? This is required, actually. And when Prabhupada was talking to the devotees one time, he explained, he said, so why are you reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam? Why are you studying like this? He said, because you are going to preach. This is the reason. So you may think that this is very funny, but actually it's a fact. It's for this reason that we get the training. Does that answer your question, Lokesh Prabhu? Okay. Okay, good. Any other comment or question? Actually, we have to do this. We have to try to find ways to reach out. If we understand nicely and explain to others what is the science, what is the difference, what is the basis of spiritual life, and how people can actually become happy in human society, then it could change. And this is wanted. It's not just a passive sport that we come and sit and listen, but actually it's an active sport, a contact sport, if you like, that we learn how to contact others and explain to them and encourage them to understand the principles of spiritual life. So you see, this is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvag visago janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadvachipi namanyanantasya yashon kitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is explained. That on the other hand, that literature, which is full of transcendental words about the name, fame, form, qualities, glories, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a different creation, full of transcendental words, meant to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Srinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. That such literatures, even though there may be defects in the way the literatures are composed, are actually Srinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. They are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So our business is actually to change our characters and to assist others in changing their characters. And then the character of the world can change. But it requires character. We have to develop our character to become followers in the footsteps of Arjuna. Just see his character. Very strong. Very thoughtful, very considerate. Wanting to do the right thing. And brave to do the right thing. Yes. Is this shocking? Prabhupada, he was 70 when he came to the Western countries. Okay. He was an old man when he came to the West. He'd never been out of India before. But he came and he thought, what can I do? But let me try. My Guru Maharaj wants it, so let me try. So he tried. And results came. So when we also try to preach and present Krishna consciousness, we don't know what the result will be, but let us try and see if we can do some good and please Krishna, please the spiritual master, and do some good for the people of the world. And then things can change. One thing's for sure, if we don't try, how will things change? But also we can be sure of something else. that if we don't try, Lord Chaitanya has already said it's going to change. So it means that if we don't try, somebody else is going to do it and get the credit. So better we do it. How about that? Is that all right? Okay, so let's have kirtan. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Gaur. Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nivisesha Sunyavadi Pastyachade Shita. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Krishna, Swami Bhutare, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Chani, Nirvisesha Siddhivadi, Pasti Jagesha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.